What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
All right, well, it started online. Outrage ensued. Rumors started on Twitter that Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem was living for free in military housing. So they began, you know, laughing and joking, demanding she be kicked out. This was this white trash thing to do. She'd just moved in for free, can't get her to move out. We need to force her to move off the military base where she's staying. So the Washington Post goes and checks it out. See if she's really staying on the military base. Finds out she is and publishes her address. Again. Just to make sure that all of the terrorist groups, cartel groups and everything know, and, you know, deranged liberals know where to find her. She's the head of the Department of Homeland Security. Well, it turns out that the reason she was living in military housing was she had had to abandon her D.C. apartment, which she's still locked into a lease on, still paying the money, you know, paying the rent for. After doxing on the dark web and on a lot of these sites where they, you know, give addresses of ICE, you know, officers, agents. Yeah. What happened was back in April, the UK Daily Mail also published her address, said this is the, you know, apartment she lives in. Her apartment's nothing special. Why that was necessary, I have no idea. Well, after it happened, the death threats started rolling in from, get this, terrorist groups, cartel members, and deranged lunatic leftists, all of whom wanted to kill her, some of whom, quite frankly, have the means to do it. So what did they do? I said, well, I mean, this was a deliberate decision of the Trump administration saying, like, no, we're not letting these people get the Department of Homeland Security head. That would be a real victory. That'd be a trophy, right? No matter how many times Democrats dox her and try to help them hunt her down. And so they moved her to the military facility where, yes, she wasn't paying rent, but understand this is not a, you know, deadbeat living off the people. She's still paying rent at her apartment where she can't live because the left keeps doxing her.
Yeah, so send them the bill.
That's what I say. Well, outraged members of Congress, Democrats, all, want her kicked out. Noem's new digs on the Potomac River are fit for royalty, they say, at least a top Navy admiral, which the housing is normally reserved for. In fact, she was living there, riled some Democrat lawmakers, including Senator Chris Murphy, who serves on the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Homeland Security. Murphy told the Post the building is not a vanity residence and accused Noem of essentially taking that property from the military. No, that was a decision made by the Trump administration to keep her alive. But he wants her kicked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can get to her.
Well,
you get to her, hurt her, kill her. Guess what? The next nominee, it's going to be hard to get a lot of people to want to do that job. Yeah. If you've got a family, are you going to do that job? No, Democrats know that. They know it. Wow, okay. If I take that job, every member of my family is going to have to live on a military base and not leave for fear of their lives and fear of Democrats and cartel members. But then I repeat myself because they're the same people. Yeah, pretty much. You got grown children? Yeah. Forget the job, forget the career, forget being able to run around, cartel go after them. They're all going to have to move on to the military base. Terror groups will go after them. And then deranged Democrats will go after them too. Throwing, I don't know, bricks? Or maybe they'll be the ambush in the parking lot like we've already seen, Lee?
Mm-hmm.
So these are real threats. I mean, they've made good on them. Well, you had that Antifa-linked group. Remember, what was it? Six of them were picked up for trying to murder ICE agents. Unfortunately, they're not good shots and didn't spend a lot of time on the range or we'd be in a world of hurt right now. But they'll do it again. We've already seen they will do it. These aren't idle threats. This has already happened. We've had multiple attempts of murder on these poor agents using different means. So keeping Kristi Noem alive is a national security priority.
Yeah, as you would expect with someone who's a part of the administration, yeah.
Yeah. Trisha McLaughlin, spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security, said this to the Washington Post after they again doxed her by printing her exact location where she's living on the military base. The media, here's what she said. This is truly sick, Washington Post. The media doxed, and that means for those of you who aren't hip to the street, you don't have 15-year-olds living in your house. That means publish their address online, let everyone know where they live. The media doxed Secretary Noem's precise apartment location as she faces daily death threats, including from terrorist organizations, cartels, and criminal rings that Department of Homeland Security targets, she said. Due to the increased threats and safety concerns, she's been forced to temporarily stay in secure military housing. As the Department of Homeland Security officers Noem leads face a 1,000% increase in assaults against them, the Washington Post chooses to again publish where she lives, a revealing lack of basic humanity for another person's safety.
Well, I guess Democrat, liberal, progressive, secularist should be thankful that right-wing media doesn't do what they do, and they don't reveal the addresses of all the members of Congress and just stick that out there, which, I mean, that's available at some point if you really wanted to dig and find out.
Right. But you don't go like
you don't make it
whistle.
Easy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, thankfully that although this some may disagree with this, at least Republicans and conservatives are turning the other cheek, so to speak.
Yeah, no, this is not so, this is not something our media would never do. And if our media did do it, they would be absolutely outraged.
Well, I mean, this is similar to the whole outrage that we have from Gavin Newsom and others complaining about the legal redistricting of certain congressional districts because of the failure of the U.S. Census Bureau to accurately, portray the total number of people there and who are citizens as opposed to just simply residents and living here illegally. But, you know, then they turn right around and say, Republicans shouldn't do this, so we're going to do it, because that's what Gavin Newsom is saying. And that's what, you know, Beto O'Rourke was saying as well.
Yeah.
So this is wrong, and we're going to do the same thing.
Yeah. Texture reminds me, and I had forgotten this, the guy who killed Ashley Babbitt, you know, the Capitol Police officer, lived on a military base for 6 months after that for his protection. From the right wing. Yeah,
and nobody revealed his address, I don't think.
No. That was fine.
Not that we should, you know, I mean.
We shouldn't do it anyway. We shouldn't do it at Democrats.
There should be certainly legal investigations into that, which there was. But, you know, certainly there should not be some type of vigilante justice, as these people are suggesting.
And look, I mean, this is tongue-in-cheek stuff. These Democrats. No, they're trying to get her kicked out of military housing so that, honestly, she can be intimidated, so that she can, have, concrete blocks thrown at her from the parking lot and be shot at by Antifa. Isn't that what the Democrats do?
And just like you were saying, this is also to impede any other potential folks from wanting to be involved with the Trump administration in the future.
Yeah, and look at the timing of this, okay? I mean, we've just had 100 – by Friday, it was up to 110,000 applications for the first 10,000 job openings with ICE. It's going to be 75,000 total, but they've opened 10. This is their first tranche of hiring. 110,000 applications, right? Democrats see that and they're in a panic. Their, determination to stop this by assassinating and supporting groups that are assassinating or trying to assassinate these agents, they figured, well, that'll intimidate people. No one will show up. People are showing up. Nothing would put the kibosh on that hiring like the Department of Homeland Security being targeted potentially fatally. And that's why they're trying to eject her from the military base so that their minions can get her one way or another. Sends a message, hey, you know what? You might not want to sign up for ICE. This could happen to your family. Maybe want to, withdraw your application. It's not going to work. It's desperate, but it's what they're doing. And it shows you just kind of the new low. This is Civil War stuff. And the fact that the head of the Department of Homeland Security has to hide on a military base on U.S. soil. Think about that, Lee.
Yeah. Plus, you got Democrats who are trying to discourage people from taking a government job.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. Unbelievable.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Well, historic meeting is supposed to take place today at the White House. It'll be the Euroweenies, whose only interest is continuing this war any way they can, because it's been very profitable for them. And their puppet, Vladimir Zelensky, who's already digging his heels in, saying he won't give up any territory. So it's going to be interesting to see how this works out today. And he's just posted that. Posted it late last night around 11 p.m. Says he's not willing to give up any territory to Russia. Russia has to basically completely capitulate. So I'm not sure what is going on in the background. It'd be interesting to see what happens, especially given that the Euroweenies just a few weeks ago were, you know, doing whatever they could to try to keep the war going. And look, Trump's challenge here is really, really simple. He's got to stop this war in a way that it will be hard for them to resurrect should we lose the 2028 election to the Democrats, because the Euroweenies and the Democrats will immediately do what they've been trying to do for 20 years, which is get into a war with Russia. And Trump explained that. That's why he wants to. He loves our troops. He loves our military. He does not want to see them fed into this meat grinder.
They've lost right now 5,000 to 7,000. They're losing a week. Mostly soldiers, Russian and Ukraine soldiers. Think of this. Last week, they lost 7,011 soldiers. It's something that has to stop. And I'll tell you what, if I didn't win this election, and if I wasn't doing this, you right now could be in a third world war.
Yeah.
That was heading to a third world war. You know.
Oh, yeah. If Her Highness had been elected, we would be in a third world war. And what's interesting is you got to two sides. This looks like Zelensky saying he's not going to play ball. And in the end, will that matter? I don't know. I mean, how are you going to fight Russia if you don't have any money? And the answer is you're not. J.D. Vance broke that to the Euroweenies and Zelensky last week when he said, look, we're done funding Ukraine. We're not funding you.
To your point about weapons, what we said to the Europeans is simply, first of all, this is in your neck of the woods. This is in your back door. You guys have got to step up and take a bigger role in this thing. And if you care so much about this conflict, you should be willing to play a more direct and a more substantial way in funding this war yourself. I think the president and I certainly think that America, we're done with the funding of the Ukraine war business. We want to bring about a peaceful settlement to this thing. We want to stop the killing. But Americans, I think, are sick of continuing to send their money, their tax dollars to this particular conflict. But if the Europeans want to step up and actually buy the weapons from American producers, we're okay with that, but we're not going to fund it ourselves anymore.
Exactly. So he broke it to the Euroweenies and Zelensky. We're not funding this anymore. So they can't fight if they want to, is the idea. And on the other side, you've got Putin. If Putin can just hold his fire while he's attacked by NATO, that is the big thing that's going on here, okay? If you've watched the last couple, let me tell you what's going on. If you've watched the last couple of months, this is how it goes. Trump and Putin start to get close to some kind of peace agreement that Russia, you know, can live with, will agree to. And every time that NATO sees that and they see that their gravy train of printed U.S. dollars might be cut off, they immediately take our drones and the funding that they have that they got last year before Trump took office, and they fly deep into Russia and they kill Russian civilians. A lot of them, usually. Oh, you didn't know that. Yeah, the media never reports it. You got to read both sides or you won't know what's going on. Well, Putin will turn tail. He'll fly right back into Kyiv and attack whatever site they launch it from. And NATO has begun to do what you see the Palestinians do, the Gazans, those terrorists with Hamas. They'll launch the drone attacks from civilian areas, knowing Putin will fly right back in and destroy wherever you launch it from. They'll say, oh, they attacked this neighborhood. And it goes on and on and on and on. And they've learned that Putin will 100% of the time attack back. Trump is saying to Putin, stop fighting back. Stop fighting back. You got to make it clear that it's NATO attacking you in order to keep this war going. And Putin refuses. And so Trump finally said, you know what, then I give up. I'm putting secondary sanctions on you then. You're going to have to hold your fire when NATO flies in with our equipment and kills a bunch of Russian civilians in order to keep the war going. So if you see, what are you watching Rubio and Trump do right now? And Vance and all of them and Witkoff? They're saying, well, we're going to have to skip the ceasefire. Why? Because NATO will just launch a drone right into Russia with a missile on it, kill a bunch of people. Knowing it, Putin will 100% of the time fight back. Why does he do that, by the way? Putin, believe it or not, is a moderate. A lot of these oligarchs are massive warmongers. They want just total annihilation, take all of Ukraine, go for broke. Putin doesn't want that. He knows how risky that is for Russia. So Putin's actually a moderate. But when you've got these other oligarchs screaming bloody murder inside of Russia and Russians watching fellow Russians get killed by NATO and demanding blood, then it goes on and on and on and on. So we can't have a ceasefire because NATO will just fly right in there, kill Russians, and Putin will respond. So this is what Trump is saying to Putin. Don't respond. We are going to skip the ceasefire because the Euroweenies will just attack Russia to keep it going. Putin will fight back and that'll keep it going. We're going to skip the ceasefire and go right to peace. It's the only way they can do it. Now, Putin is looking at Trump going, you can't control these Euroweenies. How are you going to control them? They just fly right back into Russia and kill me, kill my people. And I'm going to fight back. And he's been pointing at Trump this whole time going, you don't have control of the Euroweenies. You don't control NATO. How can you guarantee peace? And I still don't know how he can. Actually, I've got an idea, but it's not a very good one. So that's what's been going on. That's why we can't have a ceasefire, because the Euroweenies know how to restart the war. And so far, Putin has refused to withhold his fire when they fly into Russia and kill civilians. And that's kind of where we're stuck. So why are they all descending on the White House? Two things. Make sure that Zelensky holds strong, keeps World War III going, because it's been very profitable for Europe. They love the printed money as much as the Democrats do. And so far, it's looking like Zelensky saying, no, I have to have all the land back, which he knows is a non-starter. Here's what's interesting. If J.D. Vance is right and we cut off Ukraine, no more money, no more weapons unless Europe wants to buy them, hey, that's not a bad position for us. It gets us out. You want to fight Putin, have at it. I don't care. Do what you want. As long as it's not my money, not my kids in the military, not our troops, I don't care what you do. So there's a nice backdoor here for Trump. If the Euroweenies scuttle this, he just says, well, I'm not giving you any money. Good luck. Oh, by the way, we're shutting down the military center in Badenburg, Germany, where our generals have been fighting Russia for you. Go ahead, do it yourself. Good luck. You know what'll happen, don't you? They'll get their butts kicked by Russia. Trump will say, see, that's not a bad outcome for Trump because it gets us out of this mess. But I know Trump wants the big ceremony with the peace deal. In a state known for its record, some years, rates of drunk driving, usually top five in the nation, depending on the year. We've been tracking that since I've been here. For drunk driving fatalities per capita, we drink, we drive, we kill here in South Carolina. One of the deadliest places in the nation to drive. So I, for one, was really glad to see consequences for Ian Shefflin. This is really good for everybody to get a look at and think, you know what? Wow, he's a Clemson basketball, now football player. And he drove drunk. He got arrested. He's going to suffer the consequences in terms of missing part of the beginning of the season. What would happen to me? Maybe, you know what? I should just call an Uber. Not a kind of thing people do in South Carolina much, but maybe I should just call an Uber. So I saw this, was really glad no one was hurt, but was also so glad that I was glad he got caught. This is a great, really, really great example for folks in South Carolina. You drink, you drive, no matter who are, you're getting caught. There's going to be charges. You're going to be arrested. That's humiliating. You're going to have a mugshot. It's going to be, you know, burned into public record for all time. So when you go to get a job, they'll probably see it. It's not worth it. You know what? If you want a drink, I got nothing wrong with that. You know, I like a drink or two myself sometimes. But you know what? It's not too hard to put that Uber map, that Uber app on your phone and use it. Just use the app. Or you know what? If it's going to be a problem, just drink at home. Have some friends over. Cook out. You don't need to be out driving around. Lots of ways to enjoy yourself without putting anybody else at risk. Speaking of which, folks, we are in a civil war in America with the left. And we saw so many moving pieces of that last week. This civil war literally is over redistricting and the census. And whether the Democrats will be able to import millions of new voters to replace us with, but in the meantime, before they can vote, before they amnesty them, counting them in the census. Everything rests on this. It all rides on it. The headcount. And Democrats insist they want to make it the American way, and we haven't settled this yet, that if you show up 15 seconds ago, 30 seconds ago, 3 minutes ago, you have the same rights as an American. You can vote. You can get a commercial driver's license, even if you don't speak English, who cares? We don't like our own culture anyway. You don't need to be able to participate. In fact, if you can't, we're going to like you even better. The illegal immigrant Sikh truck driver who made an illegal U-turn in Florida, killed three people, has taken an even more disturbing turn now that Governor Gavin Newsom of California is implicated. Folks, this is a direct tale of how sanctuary city status kills. This is what we're fighting with the National Guard, the lawlessness. The in-cab video, I don't know if you've seen it, it's really hard to watch, showed Harjinder Singh, an illegal immigrant who crossed the border in 2018, and a driving companion using an official use-only turnaround on the highway in Florida. So as they enter the opposing lane of traffic, this is the part that's hard to watch, minivan slams into the side of the trailer, destroying it beyond all recognition. All three occupants are killed. Singh is now in custody facing manslaughter charges. But what was he doing in the truck to begin with? Well, sanctuary policies don't just apply to, you know, protecting criminals. He was issued a commercial driver's license under Newsom's sanctuary state policies. Why? You're not allowed to check and allowed to consider immigration status. Singh crossed into California in 2018. Instead of reporting his illegal status, the state gave him a CDL. So on the one hand, they shield them from federal authorities, refuse to, you know, to cooperate. On the other hand, we don't check the status. They give out a CDL. And what do? Drive right out of California with that CDL. Go right to Florida and kill somebody. Folks, this is why I got a text earlier from somebody said, we shouldn't use the National Guard. Oh, yes, we should. Yes, we should, because as long as blue territories exist where cartels, criminals, illegal immigrants can hide, they will pour out and affect the rest of us, whether that's in redistricting from Congress and, you know, helping Democrats steal congressional seats they're not entitled to killing people on the California and Florida highway. This affects us. We can't have areas of America with one set of laws and areas of America with different set of laws. By the way, have you seen this? Gavin Newsom, you know, remember last week he's giving a speech and he's outraged to find out that about 100 yards away, ICE is removing pedophiles, gang members, and home burglars that he wanted to keep who happen to be illegal immigrants. And he's outraged. Did you see this? He has launched an investigation into what ICE was doing there. Think about that for a minute. No, think about it. This is the Democrats asserting, and Gavin Newsom asserting, that even in the spheres of territory they occupy, you know, 100 feet around Democrats, 300 yards around Democrats, there is an expectation that the law will not be enforced. So he's investigating whether federal law was enforced in his presence under the theory that because he is a Democrat, think about this, because he is a Democrat, laws should not be enforced in his presence. He has special superpowers. That's what he just said. He's doing an investigation into whether federal law was enforced. So what if it was? Then what? Well, we know federal law was enforced. Yeah. And it's federal law. If you don't like it, change it. Run on it. Run on open borders. Run on lawlessness. Run on anybody who shows up in California, doesn't speak English. Who cares? They can have a commercial driver's license. We're not going to background check them. We don't care if they have a criminal history. We don't care if they have a history of drunk driving. In fact, if they do, we'll turn them right back on the street. Run on that. Change the law. Problem solved. No more federal law about immigration. See, everybody's happy in California, but they won't do that, will they? They want to maintain lawlessness. So we have an actual Democrat in California actually investigating whether the law was upheld in his presence under the theory that it shouldn't be because he's a Democrat. Wrap your mind around that, level of crazy. Texter writes on the Common Sense Retirement Planning at text line 800-905-0989. Everyone in the truck driving community is outraged over this. I bet you are. Because you know what? That guy didn't just steal three lives. He stole your job too. We do not need non-English speaking Sikhs driving trucks. What we need, if we want to bring them into the country and we all decide that that's what we want to do, they need to come legally, speak our language, and only get a job after real Americans have had their shot at that job. Lots of folks weighing in on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Key thing happened this weekend. Key thing for peace with Russia. That's exactly what I said needed to happen and would happen. Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin standing side by side. What a jarring image that was. For this reason, they are the number one and number two targets on earth of the evil United States deep state. The one overseen by John Brennan and James Comey. Standing there together, alive, and thriving. It was the ultimate defeat of the upstate, of the deep state, excuse me. And here's the thing about it. The main purpose of that meeting, and a lot of folks in the media who either don't understand it or are deliberately pretending not to understand, the main purpose of that meeting was to do the one thing that it would take before peace could happen that's never happened before. It is to stand on the world stage. It was so powerful. And for Trump to say, we are innocent. Russia collusion was a hoax. Russia collusion cost the lives of a million people. Lies told about Russia. And folks, it was not an accident that these declassifications happened, boom, 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 over the last 2 weeks, where we learned that every single aspect of the Russia collusion hoax was fake, including the cyber hacking. Remember, we were told 17 intel agencies agree. Oops, we mean three. We miscounted that Russia hacked boards of elections. Didn't happen. Hillary did that. In fact, her campaign hired federal contractors to generate the fake internet traffic that would look like Russia hacked our boards of elections. Why do I bring this up? Most Americans don't get real news on this. They don't understand what happened over the weekend, how profound it was. Trump standing next to Putin saying, we didn't do it. And having offered the proof over the last 2 weeks, there was no cyber hacking. Why is that so significant? The reason we are in this war, the reason Russia is in this war, is because Barack Obama, as punishment for the fake cyber hacking that Hillary actually did, and Obama knew it the whole time, again, put tanks and troops on Russia's border before he left office. Trump left them there. He had no choice. He would have been called a Russian agent. And then it went a step further. And Congress voted nearly unanimously, the House and the Senate, to sanction Russia's economy, basically destroying it. We sanctioned their energy sales. That's 60% of their economic activity. Destroyed it. Based on what? Total lie. Specifically in the sanctions passed in 2017 and signed by Trump, what did it say? They were in retaliation for cyber hacking. Russia didn't do it. Trump exonerated Russia. The Russian people needed to see that. They have lived through the economic destruction based on the very fake lie by our deep state that Russia somehow attacked America, attacked our infrastructure, didn't happen. That is what was accomplished in Alaska. All while Trump is projecting, hey, bud, I'm letting you off the hook here. You've been legitimately wrong. Don't get uppity. Take a look at my B-2 bomber. You want that flying over your head? Here's your apology, but you need to behave.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.